Whether you keep them in your home or love to see them in theirs, these are the creatures that bring us all together.
Reptiles. We're going to be delving into the experiences of reptile lovers from around the block and around the world. This is the Reptile Talk Podcast.
Boom! What is up? Rob, I actually hear a little bit of me coming from you. I don't know how that's possible because I didn't hear that a second ago, but I hear that.
Still?
No. Oh, yes, I still do.
Huh.
Yes, technical difficulties. Wow, we're live.
How about now?
Let's see if I talk. No, I don't hear it anymore.
Okay.
You are magic, sir. I don't know what you did.
I just turned the audio on my headphones really low.
Ah. Well, good job.
So, I'm Rob, and I'm creeping it real.
We messed all of that up. What's up, everybody? This is Jeremy Turgeon from Brass Man Reptiles, and Rob already told you who he was, and we're out of order. Oh, man. I mean, I guess it's fine, considering as we didn't promote this this episode at all anywhere. We're just like, hey, let's do one, because we're both free. We need to
do one.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But that's cool. Heck yeah, man. It's Friday. It's pretty
I don't know
wonderful.
What day of the week it is, so...
It's Friday. Now you know. It's Friday.
Yeah. This whole, like, just, like, living and just exploring life thing has not let me know what day of the week it is ever. I always go out on Sunday and I'm like, oh, everything's closed. Why is everything closed? Oh, it's Sunday. That's why.
Yeah, it do be like that.
Welcome to the South.
Is that what this is?
I think it is.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to blame it on.
All right, that's fair. I think that's okay. If it's
so
not
Jeremy,
okay.
How long have you been in North Carolina now?
I have been in North Carolina. It's now in 3 months. 3 months.
Dang.
Which is nuts. Which is right? Nuts. It's been absolutely nuts. But man, I'll tell you, it's been an amazing 3 months. I will tell you that. Life is less stressful just in general. I'm working for myself, which is great. Things have been going really well with that. Between music and Brass Man, things have been going really well. And I can't really complain. I'll be in Georgia tomorrow for a gig, and I'm pretty excited about it because one of the guest artists that's going to be there is somebody who I've been following for about a decade. So I'm super excited to get the chance to meet them. I don't know if I'm able to talk about it, so that's all I'm going to say. I don't know if I can drop like names and be specific. But just follow me on Instagram because I'll post all about it when I'm there. but things have been great. I'm excited. I'm excited for what the future is gonna bring. You know, 2022 is gonna be an insane year. But Rob, you've been down here for 3 weeks, a month, a little over a month?
A month and like 2 days, something like that.
Heck yeah. How are you feeling?
Today was cold as shit, but aside from today being really cold, it's been really nice just getting to slow down a little bit, which was my main goal with moving, slowing down a little bit. And then the other night, I think it was last night or 2 nights ago, I did a little live stream on Instagram where I was just handling some of my little scrubs because I put my smaller scrub pythons into enclosures so I can put some UV on them and, you know, do them up a little bit better and just getting to observe them a little bit more and, you know, work on handling them and all that sort of stuff has just been, it's been great. I didn't really have a lot of time to do stuff like that or the space to do stuff like that before. So being able to do it now is pretty mint.
Absolutely. So there's a couple people that have popped in that are watching live to this unannounced podcast episode. So I just want to say what's up to everybody that's watching. If you've never been to a live Reptile Talk on YouTube, welcome. Thanks for jumping on with us. And if you don't know the deal, if you feel so inclined, you can drop a super chat and we will highlight it. Although I'm going to highlight a comment right now that is not super chatted just because of who it's from, because we love him and this is hilarious. The future is Fader. Thank you, Limmy. We love you.
We love you, Limmy.
He sent me a message, so I just posted a whole bunch of stuff on Morph Market today. And then, of course, I'm posting it. Like, hey, please go buy my snake, please. That's how I feed myself, my daily McDonald's dose. and he was like, you labeled Cookout. Fader. Yeah, Cookout, there you go. He's like, you labeled Fader. I was like, you're damn right I did. Even though John still has not updated Morph Market to recognize Fader as a real gene, I'm still going to give John crap about that. But
oh, geez.
Oh, man. But yeah, so thank you to everybody that has jumped on and is hanging with us. Today's just, we're just kind of blabbing. We're just giving you guys some updates. Rob and I are recent North Carolina transplants, which is one of the reasons why it has been so hectic for us getting episodes to you guys, just because we've been super busy getting life figured out in a new place, 800 miles away from home.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a 12-hour drive for me. It ended up being like a 17-hour drive, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, so that's why it's taken so long for us to get consistent episodes up for you guys. But people who have been following, you just saw the episode we did with Mike Stefani, episode 75. It was great. Mike's got some amazing animals, and it was just awesome to talk with him. We've been wanting to get him on for a while. I have vanished. Hopefully I come back. I don't know if you guys can still hear me. Ah, there I am. I don't know why I vanished, but I did. It was great to talk with Mike. He's got some awesome animals for sure. And so hopefully we can get back onto a more consistent schedule. I was telling Rob after the last episode, I want to try to get Phil Goss on one more time before the end of the year to get just kind of like the rounded out, 2021 in a nutshell from US ARC. What we can be doing to plan for 2022, because I'm sure most of us who have been following are aware that 2022 is going to hit us with some nonsense for sure. I know it certainly will here in the Carolinas, and of course that federal bill that recently got dropped, we'll be dealing with that as well. So we're just kind of blabbing today, talking about stuff.
Freaking silly.
Yeah. So we're just glad when we're just talking about stuff. So like I said, feel free, if you feel so inclined, drop a super chat, ask us some questions, we'll gladly answer them. And we're just hanging out with you guys. So, yeah. I don't know. Rob, you say things so I can stop saying things.
Well, I'm just getting settled in their new room here. I bought some bigger enclosures for my big scrubs. Shout out to Tristan at Gecko Junkies. I picked up some 4-foot by 2-foot by 2-foot enclosures for my bigger scrubs. So I got those set up. My living room kind of turned into my reptile room because my bedroom is cold as shit. And for whatever reason, the heating doesn't go great in my bedroom. So I've turned my living room into my my reptile room. And so I've got my baby set up over on this side of the room. I got my grow outs and my adults over on the other side of the room. And, just trying to get everything dialed in, upgrade some animals from smaller enclosures into bigger enclosures. And really will give me the opportunity to let things grow and expand like naturally, kind of how I was hoping that they would be able to over the next year or two.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I dig it. Those enclosures are freaking awesome too. Shout out to Tristan for sure. I wonder if we can get Gecko Junkie to sponsor the podcast.
Maybe.
Might need to talk to him about that. Bam. All right, Lady Tiz Exotics with the first super chat of the night. What made you both move or both choose North Carolina? For me, it was honestly music. I have some opportunities that I still cannot discuss publicly just because there's documentation, legal documentation involved. So I can't actually really talk about them. But music was the thing that brought me down to North Carolina. I was lucky enough through COVID to have quite a bit of studio session work down here, which has been awesome. And that kind of gave me a foundation to be able to, when I got the opportunity to move down here, to get myself like right in the door, which was great. So things literally just happened to work out perfectly. And it also gave me the freedom to work more with my animals, pursue the brass band reptiles thing a bit more. And so that was why North Carolina. And people have asked me quite a bit why Statesville, which is where I'm at right now, because it's not Charlotte, it's not Raleigh, it's not Greensboro, which are like some of the bigger cities in the area. And it was mainly for convenience, moving in with my buddy Lenny, who I've known since I was a teenager, who already keeps snakes. So I was moving down with 200 snakes, and it's not easy to find an apartment that'll let you move in with 200 snakes. And now that 200 is almost 400. So jeez. Yeah, I have expanded, and most of that stuff is available inventory and stuff that will be made available shortly. Go to my Morph Market. But, so lots of snakes for sure. And yes, as Limey has stated, because he lives here, and I missed Limey giving me shit in New York City. So, but why did you choose North Carolina?
I chose North Carolina because I hate winter. Like, I can't stand the cold. So I, big shout out to Jay Muller. What's up? I can't stand the cold. I hate being cold. I hate snow. I hate winter. North Carolina does not have a crazy winter. And then also, Jeremy lives in North Carolina. My current partner, Kristen, lives in North Carolina. And also because North Carolina has, you know, depending on county, some of the counties here are pretty good as far as regulations go for venomous reptiles. And I do want to start my own venomous collection at some point. Not while I'm renting in right now, you can't have venomous. But I'm scoping counties out right now to try and find some place where I could keep venomous snakes, and I'm hoping that in the next year or two, I'll be able to start getting my own venomous collection. I'm not really too much into the lapid stuff, but trying to get some vipers, you know, rhino vipers, copperheads, wagglers, you know, stuff like that, death adders, things like
that. You know, just the casual death adder, you know.
I love death adders, dude. They're like mini blood pythons. They're just freaking, they're cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree. They are pretty awesome. Big shout out to Jay Muller. Jay Muller in the house, dropping down the super chat. We love you too, Jay Muller. We miss you. It's not the same not seeing you once a year, bringing gifts and all of that, and your energy. We love your energy. But we're happy that you're here. Absolutely happy that you're here. But heck yeah, more people are jumping on. If you guys can do me a massive favor, just share this video, especially since we didn't promote it because this was totally random and we were just like, hey, we're both free. Let's do a podcast episode and just like talk to the people. So share this video. It'd be great to get more people here.
Since it is not our usual. Throw a like up on it. If you're listening on the audio version, if you can leave us a review, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It would be appreciated. We are going to be working on, upgrading some of the audio stuff. So we'll be able to, I know that as soon as I get the job situation rolling down here, I'm probably going to pick up a computer and like, you know, an actual mic and things so I can Sound yeah. good. Jeremy's already got all that stuff, so I need to up my game.
I do have it, and if that's the route you're going to go, I have an interface that you can just take. So you just need to worry about a microphone and a cable and stuff.
So
boom, there you go. I got you. heck yeah, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for next year. You know, I was just before jumping on here, I was down in my snake room moving some snakes around that I've been pairing up. Ball python breeding is getting into the beginnings here. Got some pretty cool stuff happening with ball pythons that I'm excited about. And then I've been pairing up some Borneos, which I'm excited about. And finally got the jungle carpets going. I am behind on pairing jungle carpets, but finally made that happen today. So we'll see where that goes. But I'm excited for that. And then the spring, we get the second string guys, the Brettles, the Amazons. What the hell else is breeding in the spring? I think that's it. Just the Brettles and the Amazons for this season.
Yeah. I paired up my jungles. They didn't want to do anything. I paired up my IJs. They didn't want to do anything. I threw one pair of Borneos together, and they didn't. The male's on the young side, so I wasn't really too much expecting him to do anything. So I think that this season I'm probably just going to take off. I might try pairing one or two more times, but I'm probably going to take this season off. I got so many holdbacks right now anyway. So
how many holdbacks, Rob? you guys listening to the audio only didn't just see the look of holy crap, the number just popped into my head and it's larger than I thought.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to hold back 8 snakes from this past season. I think I ended up with like 10 or 11. So like it's not that unreasonable.
That's fair. I mean, I can't say anything. I've got 60 or so holdbacks. So of various species, though. Of various species. That's my only saving grace. It was not all ball pythons or anything like that. So that's the only thing that saves me.
Yeah, my saving grace is that I've got a whole bunch of cages that I'm not using yet. So I've got space to upgrade things, like adults into things. And then my bedroom is untouched right now, so I don't have any reptiles in my bedroom. So I've literally got like 10 feet of wall space in my bedroom that I can use for stuff I want to. So I got room to expand.
Heck yeah. So what I'm hearing is more holdbacks. That's what I'm hearing.
I stopped pushing trying to sell the stuff that I've got right now. Like I'm probably just going to take everything down off of Morph Market that I've got up right now, because I don't really want to ship anything right now. And I don't foresee wanting to ship anything until March. So like there's no use in me pushing selling some stuff, and then people are going to be upset and want to ship to them, and FedEx is all fucked right now. So I'm just like, you know what? Not for me. I'll wait and then give everybody a little bit more size. You know, everything, a lot of the stuff that's ready to go is eating frozen thawed now. So they're just going to keep going on that. And, you know, it'll just be better for when the person gets them. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I unfortunately had my last package of the year go out at the beginning of this week, made sure the temps were good and everything. And there was a delay in that shipment arriving, and the animal ended up arriving DOA, which was a massive, massive bummer. but I will say only a small blip in my shipping record in 15 years of breeding, selling, and shipping snakes. This is the second time I've only had something arrive DOA. So it sucks when it happens, 100%. And luckily, it was with a return customer of mine, so they were obviously bummed, but they weren't, you know, losing their mind. And I told them I would replace the animal, but I was going to wait to ship until obviously after the holidays and temps just get better overall. So just goes to show, I mean, it was, you know, he showed me the box and everything was exactly how I had it, so I knew it was packaged well. But I think the animal was delayed by many hours And you just don't know the variables. It could have been delayed outside. It could have been delayed on the plane, on a truck somewhere. You just don't know those variables. So definitely a bummer. So just goes to show, just when you think you know, even if you think you've done everything right, some things can still go wrong. So sometimes it is better to err on the side of caution.
Yep. Yeah. As I see people shipping into the second week of December, maybe don't do that. Maybe that's not the look.
What do you mean?
I just seen too many things go wrong, you know. And not even with stuff, because like when I was a nerd, we stopped ship. We did the first week of December, and then that was it.
Yeah.
We didn't ship until second week. I see people shipping up until like December 20th, and I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, no,
that I couldn't do. That I could not do at all. freaking Limey. I'm going to showcase Limey's comments because they're wonderful. Limey, do you even have a Cine Fader? You should get you one. They're pretty cool. Oh, boy. If you guys don't know Limey, I'm going to give Limey a lot of attention because he hates attention. So if you guys don't know Limey, you should go follow Limey on every social media platform ever. Whether or not he will follow you back, he probably just won't follow you back. He'll probably unfollow me after saying all this. But
Buddy's got some badass snakes, I'm just saying.
He does have some badass snakes, absolutely. If you ever are in the area and you come across Limey, you'll know exactly who he is. I don't even need to tell you what to look for. You'll just know exactly who he is, and then you'll be like, oh, these are some really nice ball pythons. That's how it's always been. He's always had nice stuff. Even way back in the day at the White Plains shows, he's always had nice stuff. So go follow Limey.
Yeah, man, it's just crazy. But I'm settling in pretty good right now. The only thing that I don't have figured out is where I'm going to put a chest freezer.
I haven't been to your new place, so I can't help you in that choice.
Yeah, I know. I don't really have space for a chest freezer. Like I could put it in this room right here, like next to my hatchling racks. But that's pretty much where it would have to go. I don't really have any others. I'm not putting it in my bedroom.
Yeah, I want to highlight this comment just because of what we were just talking about. Take it from a retired FedEx employee. Don't ship during peak season. If something is going to go wrong, it will go wrong during peak season. So there you go. From the mouth of a retired FedEx employee, don't be dumb. Just wait, ship.
Between Halloween and Christmas, just don't.
Yeah. Yep. It's better for everybody. It's better for the animal, you know. And also, if you're using a wonderful service like Ship Your Reptiles, they give you all of these warnings ahead of time. So, you know, use your brain. It's helpful. It's a helpful thing to use your brain.
Yeah, for real.
No matter how much smarter than the weather and the FedEx life you think you are, you're not. So.
Oof.
Yeah. But on to better, cooler topics. So you've been moving scrub pythons from tubs into enclosures, both as just raise up stuff, and just into bigger display enclosures than what you had them in New Hampshire. What's some of the cool immediate behavioral differences that you've seen with them going from one setup to the other?
My Jayapura Barnack is like probably 8 feet long. Right around 8 feet long, and she's really shy. She's always been kind of shy, but inside, when I had her in a tub, she would, like, you know, the second I touch her, she'd start going and coming out and blah blah blah. But now that I've moved her into a bigger enclosure, she has just been like always in her hide until the lights go out. And as soon as the lights go out, because I'll just sit in here, I'll turn the lights off in the room, but I'll be watching TV or whatever behind me. And the cages are right next to me. And as soon as the lights are out for like an hour, you just see her like peek her head out. And then she'll start coming out and like cruising around the enclosure and checking everything out and exploring and everything like that. So that's been really cool to see that, because she's just, you know, inside the tub, I can't really tell what she's doing, but it's funny because one day I fell asleep on the couch. I wasn't planning on falling asleep on the couch, but I fell asleep on the couch and I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I'm going to go to my bed and go to sleep. So I turned the light on in the room and she was out in the open in her cage, and she looks over at me and it's like, oh shit. And as soon as I like, went to the kitchen for a second, she was like zing right back into her hide box and right back into hiding until I left. Damn. And turned the lights off. And then my Highland scrub has been going back and forth. It goes into the hides a couple days and then it'll come out and sit out in the open. It goes, I've seen it all over the enclosure. The thing is just like all over the place. And then Janet has been like chilling. She's been wrapping her water dish and then going up and perching and going back and forth and all that sort of stuff. So it's been interesting.
Hell yeah.
And the little scrub pythons has been really cool because I had them in tubs before, like short tubs in a rack or whatever. And, you know, they'd sit on the little branches I put in there for them and everything. But, you know, they'd also sit on the ground a lot. And then I put them into some Exoterras, and or the smallest ones into Exoterras. And the day that I put them in there, the male is immediately perching, just like a green tree python. Like I have a big crossbar in there, and he just like boom, right up on top of it, perch right on top. And he loves hanging out right on that crossbar. And then he'll go and hide maybe once a day or so. He'll go down underneath. I put some cork bark in there. He'll go underneath that. But he always is back up on top of that crossbar. He just really enjoys that. And
hell then yeah.
The female, not as big a fan of the crossbar. She likes the cork bark. She'll sit curled up on top of that, and then she'll sit on the ground and stuff. But she's not a big fan of the crossbar. So I'm like, what the heck's going on there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see the individual choices.
Differences. Just personality differences.
Yeah. yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, because the male is just chill as hell. Like, I can just reach in and just scoop them up just like Janet. Like, I'm probably because of just how I handle them and work with them and blah, 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 and all that sort of stuff. But the male is just, he's awesome. He's great. He's just, like, super chill. I don't need a hook. I can just scoop him right up. He's awesome. Very relaxed.
Heck yeah.
Very confident. He's really cool. The female, on the other hand, she likes to remind you that she's in charge, and don't take that for advantage, because she will turn around. Like, I had her out the other day when I was doing that live stream on Instagram, and I moved my hand too quick towards the front, and she like backed right up and like, you know, make like she's gonna strike at me, and I'm like, oh man, please don't bite me. No, this is not good.
These are the two little ones that you had out on your Instagram live the other night, right?
Yeah. I have two little Southerns, and I got a smaller Barneck too. And that smaller Barneck is a firecracker. She hates her. I took her out yesterday and was messing with her a little bit, or not messing with her, just like handling her, and she was like,
not about it.
She wasn't having it.
Yeah. You can keep
working on her confidence.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And now you've got the time to do that. Heck yeah. I don't think a lot of people understand or understood just in general while we were at NERD, just the level of work that goes into working at a facility that size. And, you know, it's really a sacrifice of your time. You know, and that includes, if you have animals, it's a sacrifice for you getting to work with your animals. And you had another job on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tough. You know, you essentially end up like, you're just like, okay, I'm maintaining my animals. And that was, that was what I was doing. You know, so yeah, I can imagine that the shift to be able to just enjoy your animals and understand your own animals that maybe you didn't have quite the same understanding of just because of the lack of time, to now being like, oh man, you guys are so awesome. It's been pretty sweet.
It's been so cool getting to watch the different animals and how they interact and everything. It's been awesome. Just like, you know, I was pretty tuned into a lot of my short tails, but getting to know the intricacies of some of the scrubs has just been awesome.
Yeah, heck yeah. I just want to drop this. Derek's Reptiles is in the house. Drop the super sticker. Thanks for hanging and sharing the video out, Derek. We appreciate it. Make sure you're checking out Derek's stuff. Big Reptile Talk, because we're just little Reptile Talk, me and Rob. I like giving Derek crap about that. Big Reptile Talk. You can go over a Little Reptile Talk with Jeremy and that fool Rob with the ears. Yeah.
We're regular size Reptile Talk.
Okay. Fun size Reptile Talk? Maybe?
No.
No?
Our podcast is longer than his, so.
That is true. Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, it's I can only imagine, you know, I mean, just for myself, even, you know, I don't have really anything in enclosures, but being able to spend more time just with my animals has been, quite rewarding, you know, especially as, as I've gotten some newer stuff or stuff that I had gotten while I was still at Nerd, that I was able to spend a little bit of time with, but really now I've been able to just like take an animal out and just hang out with it, you know, and have been like, man, I got you because I thought you were awesome, you know, and now I finally get to really experience that awesomeness. Like that's been such a big treat. I think it was last week. We had some people over just to hang out, talk snakes and whatever, and they want to see some retics. So Lenny and I had out some of our retics, and it was just like, man, this is just cool.
Yeah, the other day, Kristen and I were watching a movie, and we're hanging out on the couch, and I was working with the carpets a little bit, and she was like, oh, like that one's really pretty. So we just took out – I got a jungle carpet from Trace Harden. And Harden Herpalogica, and we took it out. We were just hanging out with it, and man, that thing is just so freaking cool. It's just like super pretty.
Heck
just,
yeah.
It's just awesome. It's just awesome.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. Oh, we got another super chat here from Bionic Benny. What's up, brother? It says, what's up, fellas? Are F1 retics / snakes tameable? Absolutely. They just take a lot more time. And awareness.
It depends on what you mean by tameable. I wouldn't put them on my face.
True. This is true.
I'd say they're workable more than tameable.
That's fair. Yeah, your definition of tameable certainly would help. but yeah, I mean, if that was one of my favorite things about working with Kevin, especially when it came with the retics. I mean, he was the guy, you know, when it came to retics. There weren't many other people doing retics. That was like him and Jay Brewer and maybe a handful of other people. But those are the guys that were in at the inception of keeping retics. So they were dealing with the wild caught monsters, you know, that were coming in and dealing with those first and second generation animals. You know, and hearing those stories makes you appreciate all of the captive breeding that has happened in retics over the years. Because, man.
Dude, back when I first started volunteering at Nerd, me, Andy Dietz, and one of their retic guys, whose name also happened to be Rob, we would do some of those wild-caught retics, and man, they would give you a run for your money. It was like the first Phantom Man. That thing was scary. That thing was fast and strong. And man, it like took no qualms about just coming right after you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to highlight this comment just because I think this would be a cool thing to talk a bit about really quick. This is from Derek. It says, I would like to see you guys come together and make your own storefront. I think people would support it. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
Look, a few days a week, I'm down in Georgia working as a consultant at a friend of mine's pet shop as she prepares to expand and wants to get things more streamlined and be able to do certain things in-house, and all that stuff. So I'm down there a couple days a week. And, you know, it is very much a reptile specialty store, and she's got decades of experience herself keeping and working with different things and in the retail side and wholesale side. I'm good. you know, I mean, I think the retail shops play a major part in like local scene, reptile scene, the local reptile keeping scene. It does play a vital part, but man, it's so hard to make that work. You know, when you got Amazon and all these other like massive online retailers that, you know, they're able to charge a fraction of what you would have to charge as a pet shop owner, just because the quantity of stuff they're able to get their hands on, you know, so I might have to charge, you know, $200 for a tank I spend $100 on to resell to you, but something like Amazon or like even a big box store like a Petco or a PetSmart might be able to charge $120 for that same enclosure, but because they bought 75 of them and I only bought 10 of them, you know, they're getting at a way better price. How can I compete with that? You know, so that's a lot. That's definitely a lot. And then, the constant animal in and out deal is always a frustrating thing too, especially if things come in that aren't necessarily up to snuff for one reason or another. Just dealing with multiple sources, it just becomes a headache. So as much as I like the idea because of what it is and what it maybe represented 15 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, not necessarily a direction I personally would want to take.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. Yeah. It's just not... Like if I was going to do anything, I'd open up a feeder store, you know, selling rodents and rabbits and guinea pigs and that sort of stuff, you know, inventory that is more reliable to make you money, because at the end of the day, having a pet store is not profitable. It's just not like for 99% of the people, it's just not profitable.
Yeah, exactly. You really have to bust your butt to make it work, and I'd much rather be spending that time just working with my animals and enjoying my animals.
yeah for I've done a lot of hours, and I'd rather be spending my time with my animals than doing a pet store situation, especially like I'm over the like just sell animals. I'm over it.
Yeah. all right, let's see. Mac just hit us with a super chat. Thank you, Mac. On Monday, the 4.5 diameter transparent acrylic pipe I ordered arrives, connecting stacked enclosures. Young scrubs that have been cohabbed before, but now they'll have double the space to explore. That's awesome.
Sweet.
Heck,
that's badass. Post Heck pictures and tag me on them. I want to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And scrubs are cool. I don't know if I ever told you, Rob, but when I was younger, I still had my original company, J&D Reptiles, and I was doing the plans for what I wanted that to be. I had like a whole island of cages that I was designing that just never made it into fruition. But one of those stacks, I wanted to be all scrub pythons. That was my lofty desire. Listen, I'm not saying I was smart. I was just saying, because also back then, if you weren't invested in scrubs, and even those who were, they were all just amethystine pythons.
Yeah.
It was all just amethystine python. Didn't matter what the hell it was. It was like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's an amethystine. Well, it doesn't look like it. It's an amethystine python.
Yeah. I remember seeing,
unless you were like really in the know.
At Manchester for like $400, and I didn't know what the hell they were. They were just like, you don't want that, they bite. And I was like, so I keep bloods, and they're like, no, this bites your face. And I'm like, oh, I guess I don't want that.
Yeah. I'm happy to say, yeah, I'm happy to say I never got the amethystine pythons. but I will say the few times I've gotten to work with yours and some of the other ones I've gotten to work with in the past, I mean, they are just amazing animals. They really are. I love them. Amazing animals.
I love them to death.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm trying to think. Is there... I know for me, I still want to get my hands on some ring pythons and rough scale pythons. I know you're pretty well. Don't hate on the rough scales, man. You know I'm a Morelia geek.
I know they just don't do anything for me.
That's fair. I know you're pretty well set
for that, but
I know you're pretty well set with the Borneos, the Bloods, the Scrubs and all that stuff. Is there a species that if you got the chance that came across your way that you would be like, okay, I need it? Like it's something that you've just wanted? Non-venomous.
I really want to get one of those wide-striped cow kings. I can't. Once I get venomous, then it's all over.
Yeah, right? it's a game changer.
I really want to get some of those wide-striped cow kings. I tried getting some from Joey Muggleston because he hatched them out. And the second that he hatched them out and posted pictures, I was like, dude, please let me know when they're for sale. I will pay you whatever you want. Whatever. He's like, oh, don't worry. I'm going to put them on my website. I'll let you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I posted about them on my Instagram and on my Facebook. And he got so many inquiries about them that he kept all of them back to for breeding more of them. I was like, bro.
Yeah. Just one, please.
Yeah, so I want to get some of those, or at least one of those. And then I really want some azanthic blonde transpacos rat snakes, yes. Which I've got some lined up now that I can pick up.
Hell yeah.
I just got to wait for shipping weather to be better. But my buddy up in New Hampshire hatched some out finally. And I've been waiting for a year because I literally told him last season, I was like, oh man, dude. Blah, blah, blah. And it was like, it just didn't line up right. Like, I think that he hatched them right before I was looking for them and they had already sold. And I was like, dude, as soon as they come out, just let me know. And, blah, blah, blah. And then his first clutch like went bad or something like that. And then he just hatched out some babies right now. And I'm like, oh, and of course the weather the time of year is just not right for me to get them in right now. So I'm like, dude, but they're gorgeous. So I'll be getting one, at least one of those, as soon as weather gets better.
Hell yeah. I'm going to want to stare at that. And it sounds like I haven't done a whole lot of research on Subox, but it sounds like they have their tricks to them.
Yeah, they're not a corn snake. They're they definitely have got a little bit more finesse that needs to happen with them for them to do well.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's cool because I think a lot of times, especially New World colubrids, they just kind of get lumped into the, oh, it's easy. It's easy. It's, you know, you just, if you've kept one, you've kept them all. And I think, you know, the Trans-Pecos are a great example of like, that's not always true.
Yeah, great.
There are some species. Exactly. Yeah, there are some species that give you that little extra push to make sure you're on your P's and Q's.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I really want some Moluccan scrubs, but they are very rich for my blood right now. So no Moluccans for me right now.
Fair enough.
I need to get a female Highland scrub python. I need to get a male Jayapura barneck scrub python. I need to get a male Wamina scrub python. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. So what I'm hearing is the list is still existing.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Always. Always existing.
Yeah. I feel that. I definitely do feel that. It's funny. I recently, when I went through and really did like a massive deep clean and reorganization of my baby racks to just kind of put more holdbacks in one area and stuff. I was like, first of all, I was like, man, that's a lot of holdbacks. But second of all, I was like looking at my colubrids. So now all my colubrids are in one spot, you know, versus kind of all over the place like they were before. And I was just kind of staring and I was like, oh man, these cow kings are really cool. Oh man, these Mex-Mex are really cool. Oh man, these corn snakes are really cool. I'm like, oh, I want more of these. I like these a lot. And I'm like, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. Just need to wait.
Yeah. Dude, I'm digging these Okatees. My Okatees are doing great, so I'm enjoying them.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I really do want to do more work with the coral stuff, the coral ghost stuff and the palmetto stuff. Yeah. So at some point, maybe we can figure this out together, because at some point I want to check in with Lee Abbott. I'll probably do some in the spring. Yeah, probably in the spring. Touch base with him and see what he still might have left from last season. And yeah, figure out a corn snake thing with Lee, because yeah, it needs to happen.
Yeah, buddy. I need Okatee, because why not? Because why not?
Yeah, absolutely. I keep telling people, like, you know, every time I try to post a picture of my coral ghosts or whatever, the camera never picks up the pink. You've been here. We've tried to do it before. Like, the camera just never, ever picks it up. And, you know, and mine are decently pink. The ones that Lee had in Daytona.
Things are fluorescent pink.
Dude, it was like, holy crap. Like, somebody took my snake that was already cranked up on saturation and added another saturation knob and just cranked that one up too. It was insane. But yeah, cameras just hate Iridophore, that pink and red pigment. It's not friendly to cameras. So you really have to, have really spot on lighting. And then if you're going to kind of tweak it or Photoshop it, you know, have that snake next to you and you can kind of get close, but you're still never going to get that same
color saturation on it.
No. So you gotta show people in person, whether that means you bring an adult to a show or something, just so they can see, cause it's insane. It really is insane. I just want to give a quick shout out to all the people that have jumped in, that are hanging in the chat. I see all of you guys. Okay, I'm going to highlight this comment because it's funny. This is from ECW Corn. I need a male Cape Gopher, wink, wink. So Eric was at Tinley, right? And apparently at Tinley, there was a female Cape Gopher snake that he got his hands on. And then he caught wind of the mail right after I had already bought it.
Ah.
So I owe him a male Cape Gopher. But hey, all I'm saying is I'm happy I found that male before him, because he could have found the male first and then found the female, and then I would have been sad. But I have no sadness going. Oh man.
Boy.
I'm sorry, I had to. Just another shout out to Derek dropping another super sticker here in the chat. Thank you, Derek, man. We appreciate you. I know you said somewhere up here, give us a sneak peek at who the next guest is for the podcast. And to be totally honest, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. It changes. So I found that whole massive written list that I had of different guests. I don't know where I placed it. It's somewhere in my snake room. I got to find it. It's on top of a rack. But yeah, there's a list of probably like 60 or so people that I want to get on the podcast. So yeah, there will be more podcasting to come.
We should get Aubrey on.
So I want to have Aubrey on. Here's the funny thing. I remember talking to Aubrey about doing it a while ago, and he was super hesitant because he's not, you know, he's a pretty private guy, you know. But I'm like, man, we just want to pick your brain, man. Like, you've got like the Ocelot Retic project happening, and like, that's awesome. We'd love to talk, you know, more about that. And just like, he's a pretty intelligent guy, you know, so it would be really, really great to talk to him. And he's like, all right, I'll do it for you guys, but But that, I just, it's out of my comfort zone. Like, hey, man, sometimes we just got to get out of our comfort zone.
I think that if it's just, like, if you come out here and then we, like, get together and, like, sit down with some mics and just hang out and talk, I think it'll be fine.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, I would literally do that. I would pack up all my gear. I'd go get, I would need one more microphone. So I'd go buy, and I would go buy another mic for this. Just to have this done with Aubrey, I would go buy another microphone, because this mixer holds like 16 mics, so I don't need 16, but I would go buy one more mic, and just to hang out with Aubrey and chat with Aubrey in person. I think that would be fun. So yeah, maybe we should figure that out. Maybe when it's a little warmer though, because man, it's chilly.
Trace is 30 minutes from me, so.
And that would be meant to do an in-person one with Trace also. I have to say, so today was like 50-something degrees, which is, it's chilly. But it's also December, and not like December 1st. It's like going into the middle of December, and it was 50 mm-hmm. degrees. I have a much deeper sense of appreciation for 50 degrees after. I was just in Michigan for 2 days, and it was 25 degrees in Michigan, and on my way back driving through Ohio, there was a 30-second snow squall that happened, and I was very upset, like very, very upset. Okay. No, exactly. Bionic Benny dropped another super chat. Thank you, Benny. Getting into the tarantula game, giant Mexican red tarantula and Nandu Chromatis. Any recommendations any recommendations on different tarantulas? That was a struggle. I looked at that and I was like, I'm gonna fuck it up. So, Rob, that's a question for you, because I'm over here like, Python Regis for the win!
So, Green Bottle Blues, Chromatopelma sanipubescens is a good intermediate one. I love Chilobrachus fimbriatus, the Indian violets, because they web like crazy. So, like, you throw a cricket in there, they come out of the web tunnel and just grab it and, like, drag it down in there. Caribana versicolor, the Antilles pink toe tarantulas are gorgeous. More on the intermediate side is like Salmopous armenia, the Venezuelan sun tigers. So all good, like
Heck yeah.
D to intermediate ones.
Absolutely. I want to also point out, just because you said it, Rob, Amy, spell it out for the green bottle blue.
Chromatopelma sanipubescens.
Yeah, that's a bless you. she said, Rob schooling Jeremy on the Latin. Rob will always school me on the Latin. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know Latin names for pretty much everything that I work with personally. And so, of course, some other things as well, but yeah, no, when it comes to the scientific names, that is Rob territory all day long. I have no problem admitting that. I can't even spell in English sometimes, so.
I used to quiz the kids that worked at Nerd, like the young guys who work at Nerd. I used to quiz them. I'd walk up to them and be like, what's the Latin name for Burmese Python? What's the Latin name for Reticulated Python? What's the Latin name for Argus Monitor? All the time.
Oof. And that's the real reason why Rob left. They got sick of his Latin.
Some of them did.
Amazing. We got another super chat. Absolutely. Another super chat from Timothy. Thank you, Timothy. It says, get Eugene Bissette on. So here's a funny thing about Eugene Bissette. So the original Reptile Talk that I had started with Steve Tillis, we had Eugene on, and it was awesome. Eugene was wonderful, and that was 8 years or so ago. I reached out to Eugene, I don't know, it was probably like a year or so ago, after our trip to Florida. he had given me his card and whatever. And so I reached out to him about doing it, and he just didn't get back to me. But that being said, Eugene's a super busy guy and is not easy to get a hold of in general. That also being said, thankfully, we still know Steve Tillis, and Steve Tillis has a very good relationship with Eugene. So I think it would be great to get Eugene Bissett on and talk with him now. 8 years ago, it was great. The original Reptile Talk, he asked us a follow-up question here. The original Reptile Talk is it's on Blog Talk Radio. That's the old school podcast platform.
I don't think you can load the episodes anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, the audio is unable to be uploaded. And I don't know if it's because Blog Talk has upgraded their platform and that that format is no longer supported, or if I needed to pay to get that stuff back up. But I also don't feel like paying for stuff that's, you know, essentially very outdated information. It's almost 10 years old. But I would like to maybe at some point see if I could figure out a way to get that information or those files. Maybe I can reach out to Blog Talk Radio and see if I can get some of those old episodes. I think it would be cool just to kind of replay little clips. The then and the now.
If you guys want to hear a little bit of Eugene talking, I recorded part of his beach Reptile Expo this year. He gave a talk for the Herp Society, so I recorded most of that. I don't think I got all of it, but I got most of it. I got at least like 15-20 minutes of it. I just uploaded it to my YouTube channel, and so, you know, check out Rob's Creeping It Real on YouTube and blah blah blah. It's up there.
Heck yeah. Yeah, Eugene, if you've ever met Eugene, he's one of the most genuine, wonderful people. Always forward thinking, always thinking about the people that are around him. It was a treat getting to go to his place back when we went down to Florida, and hopefully we can do it again. Speaking of Florida, this weekend is Croc Fest
at Gatorland. Which
is, at Gatorland. Yeah. So obviously while I was in Michigan, I popped in to see Brian Barchek, and he's headed down there. He's already there or on his way there, almost there, something relating to CrocFest. But all of the money from CrocFest is going to work Orinoco with Orinoco Crocs, which is freaking awesome. So I'm very excited. I wish I could be down there. I have a gig tomorrow. Otherwise, I would have been trying to sneak myself down there. But
I'd love to be there, but I'm poor. So I'm not
yeah.
Although, so I wonder how much it would cost to drive down there.
It's like 8.5 hours. Well, it's 8.5 hours from me. It would probably be a little longer from you because you're on the other side of the state. But it's a little bit of a drive. It is a little bit of a drive. But I'm just saying, I think in the spring, you and I need to take like a weekend trip down to Florida and hang out with Savannah and the Gatorland peeps and all that stuff.
And Iguanaland.
And Iguanaland. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And we should have Ty Park on the show to talk about Iguanaland.
Absolutely. Yes. Just all of the yeses. I think these are many, many yeses that are happening right now. Many yeses. Yeah, there's so many people that that we want to get on the podcast. Again, I know just just for having the amount of people that we've had on in the first, I don't know, what, 60, 70 episodes. Man, I mean, it's been crazy, you know. So I'm hoping we've had so much support from you guys here on YouTube and the Buzzsprout community. We're over 50,000 downloads worldwide, which is huge for something, for a podcast that originally Steve and I started when we were in high school, to then taking a break for many years, to then reestablishing it here with Rob. Almost 2 years ago. Jesus, that's scary. Almost 2 years ago. God, but we're still here, and there's still so much to do. Absolutely. Okay, we got a super chat. Jesus. From SalmonBoa420. Cheers for never having Donnie on here. Rob, if you're on Facebook, can I send you a friend request? I think you're a badass reptile specialist. Man. Oh, gosh.
Message me on Instagram first and tell me your name before you send the friend request. Because I literally have 1,000 friend requests on Facebook, and people get lost in there all the time. It's so weird. I go to shows and people are like, why didn't you add me on Facebook? And I'm like, oh, what's your name on Facebook? They're like, oh, it's this. And I'm like, oh, there you are. I'll add you on Facebook. I just get I get so many friend requests. It's just ridiculous. It's just
stupid. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I've got a fair number in limbo as well.
If I don't immediately see like 10 posts of reptiles in a row, I'm like, I'm not going to add you. Like,
yeah. That's fair. And usually my go-to when people send me friend requests is if I look to see if you're friends with them. Because then I know, like, okay.
I usually screen pretty heavily, so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I can trust Rob. Eric dropped a super sticker. Thank you very much, Eric. I know I still owe you that that Cape Gopher. That will forever be stuck in my mind. Oh, man. All right, so we have hit our hour mark. We've passed our hour mark, which is cool. It's been fun hanging out with you guys. So, Rob, I'm going to ask you the question, the one, the only question that we ever ask besides what got you into reptiles. And that is, what in the realm of reptiles has got you excited about reptiles, sir?
One thing that's really cool is Marcel Hawkins hatched out that clutch of Malukans, and he got 4 Azanthic Malukans in that clutch.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot wait to see more Malukans in the hobby, so that's been pretty freaking cool. Seeing that pretty awesome. And then what else have I seen recently? Adeline Robinson Art. She just posted up some really cool stuff. The Viper that she's been working on most recently, I'm just like, I love it. Hell, it's super cool. I'm into it. And then getting back to doing reptile talk. I'm fucking pumped, dude. Like,
yes.
I'm excited.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, man. Amy came in here, sliding into second here. Thank you for the super chat, Amy. We appreciate you. You've been in our corner for a while. We definitely appreciate you for sure. Maybe I can take that money and go get some Latin lessons from Rob.
Hell yeah. There we go. I'm going to start quizzing you on tarantulas.
Don't do that. Why would you do that? I don't even keep them. Oof. Oh, man.
And Jeremy, what in the realm of reptiles got you excited about reptiles right now?
I'm going to piggyback on you. I'm very excited about the future of reptile talk and what we've got happening between now and going into next year and pursuing next year. Super excited about that. What also has me excited about reptiles is a little selfish and a little ball python oriented, but it happens. It happens from time to time. I got in a couple of really cool male ball pythons for some future breeding projects that I've been wanting to get my hands on for a while. And just either never had the money to do so at the time, or just could never find them when I was looking for them. So got some hidden Gene Wilma clown stuff, which has been, high up on my list. And then some really crazy, odium pied thing, that I talked about on my Instagram. Yeah. I think it's freaking nuts. So those just have me really excited about some ball python future stuff. But that's about it for today.
Hell yeah, man. All right, if people want to find out more about you and the things that you're doing, where are they going to go?
If you want to find out more about me and what I'm doing, you can go look up Brassman Reptiles, basically Brassman Reptiles everywhere here on YouTube, obviously, Facebook and Instagram, Brassman Reptiles, Twitter at Brassman Rep, and that, I think, is that. What about you, Rob? Where can people find out about you? I know what they should 100% not do is go find you on Facebook. So,
yeah, don't, not on Facebook. Instagram, Rob is creeping it real. I am planning on doing some videos now that I'm kind of settled into the new place. Some videos on scrub pythons because YouTube is severely lacking in the scrub python department. So Instagram, YouTube, I don't really use Twitter. I have a Rob is Creeping on Twitter, but I don't really use it. But Instagram's the best place, so check me out, Rob is Creeping a Reel on Instagram. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and I'm sure that we will see you next time.
Absolutely. See ya.